It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so we're started.
Okay.
Here we are, 7 days later. I'm so hungry.
Yep.
As we speak, I'm probably sitting in a beach house in Virginia eating food, even though I just had dinner.
Not starting Weight Watchers quite yet.
No. Not even then. Once I come back, no, even then.
Yep.
A lot of bacon cheeseburger pizza to be had. So, William, how do you think your week has been?
Well, that's a good question. I probably am still watching Batman the Animated Series.
Are you still right now?
Yes.
There's a lot. How many seasons of that was there?
4, I guess.
Oh, then you have no excuse.
The second season wasn't as good as the first season, but that's not saying very much. I mean, it's good, you know, but I don't really care for some aspects of the Penguin character. I think I mentioned that before.
Yes.
And, you know, the episodes are hit and miss. Some of them are kind of not so good, but a lot of them are, of course, really good. So I'm liking that. Let's see, what else? I've been listening to Kevin Smith's podcast.
Well, he has a bunch of them, but...
Well, the Fat Man on Batman one, specifically. His interview, 2-part interview, it's about 3 hours total, with Mark Hamill is really good.
I've only ever heard one interview with Mark Hamill, but I really liked it.
Well, if you're interested at all in voice acting or in, you know, Batman, I guess, in general, or Joker in general, it's really something to listen to. His interview with Paul Dini is really good. That was his first...
Who the hell is Paul Dini?
Well, he and Bruce Timm, that's his name, right, Bruce?
I don't know.
Well, he and
making up names.
Tim, the last name of the name. They're the ones
call
that
him Tim.
They're the ones that created the Batman animated series. You know, Paul Dini did most of the writing, not all of it, but most of it. And Tim was the guy who came up basically with the artistic style of it.
And Paul Williams did the music.
No.
Sorry, John Williams did the music.
Paul Williams was...
Johnny Cash did the music.
Penguin, actually. He voiced Penguin.
Oh, you're right! I didn't even mean to make that joke.
But,
I have a weird fascination Bruce Timm, with Paul I think Williams.
But, and Paul Dini's written all kinds of things. I mean, he's a big writer for Batman, not just the animated series, but in general. Like, I don't know, maybe you never saw the... There were these oversized books that Alex Ross illustrated that had stories in them. There was one for Batman, and one for Superman, and one for Wonder Woman. Maybe you never saw them.
Well, no.
He wrote those.
I don't even know who that dude is.
But most people who are fans of DC and Batman in particular know who didn't. It's like you know who Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill are because, you know, they sort of revolutionized the character in the 70s. But you don't know who they are either?
No.
Okay.
I thought I did, but then I realized it was Douglas Adams.
It's funny how in the animated series there's all these sort
of... If Neil Sedaka married Douglas Adams, he'd be Neil Adams.
In the animated series, there's all like there's a one time Batman's going somewhere or he's being directed somewhere, and it's at the corner of Adams and O'Neill. You know, like they name streets after some of the people that are big names in Batman. But another interesting thing is in Riddler's origin story in the animated series.
Yes.
You know, Edenigma or whatever. He's working for this game, video game company, and he's like the genius behind their best-selling game. But they let him go, and you know, he complains about this, and they say, "Oh, well, you signed a work-for-hire agreement, so we can let you go."
Oh, this is a whole weird thing, isn't it? His whole day gets ruined, and he ends up in front of a judge. And...
Well, he becomes Riddler to sort of take his revenge on everybody or whatever. Yeah. But the work-for-hire thing is that a reference actually to something in the industry that a lot of comic book artists and writers have been sort of railing against for a really long time.
Oh.
In fact, if you listen to the interview that Kevin Smith has with Neil Adams, he talks all about it. Because Neil Adams, he tried to help, you know, Simon and Schuster, they didn't get anything for Superman. And then there was a big lawsuit, and Neil Adams was helping the family of the Schuster family, I think, try to get something for Superman. But after that kind of went its course, he also got involved with all this stuff in the comic book industry where, you know, you're signed on as work for hire, which means you can do all this creative work and you don't get anything for it. You know, naturally, you don't own the intellectual property, but you're not going to get royalties. You're not going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
you could get paid nothing for characters that you create and that you give life and all this stuff. And it's kind of a bad thing. So they even worked that into the animated series. So, I mean, if you know a little bit about the comic book industry, and if you know some of the people who have contributed big time to Batman, writing Batman over the years, you spot these things while you're watching the animated series.
I never realized there were so many parallels between the origin story of the Riddler and the movie Tron.
What are you talking about?
It's very similar. They're genius video game designer, and then they kick him out.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, you could combine those two, and it would be kind of awesome.
Yeah, I suppose.
Riddler versus Master Control Program.
But, yeah, it's a good show. I mean, it's very well put together. It's some of the episodes are really good. I mean, they really... You know, another thing I like about the Fat Man on Batman thing is sometimes when Kevin Smith is talking about some Batman story or yeah. something... Or even some other stories that he enjoys, movies. If he gets to a part of it, if he talks about, oh, I love this scene, he's talking about the scene, and it's like a particularly moving scene, he'll, like, get choked up on the podcast. And something about that's cool to me that, I don't know, you know, guys usually aren't supposed to be like
yeah,
that. And,
yeah.
and I can relate to that because I would do the same thing if it were me.
So I think I remember telling you guys before, I finished the Dresden Files book I was listening to.
Yeah.
Did I tell you, I told you that there was a part that actually made me cry?
Yes, you did.
Like, for real cry. I was at work. Yeah. Well, I have this thing. I like the sort of cathartic nature of that kind of stuff. So, like, there's another part in Small Favor, which is the 10th novel, that I also really enjoy. It doesn't make me cry, but it's very emotional to me. And I will just go and play that section, which is, like, 2 minutes long every once in a while. And it's very cool. So, like, 2 days ago, I do this with the part in Skin Game that made me cry. Terrible idea. In the grand scheme, I'm sure it's fine. But that day, I was at work. I was really stressed. I was kind of freaking out. And I start playing it, and I just start crying again.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, great. Now I'm trying to get work done, and I'm just bawling in my eyes. Why did I do this? This was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
I feel like lately I've been getting more emotional.
Actually,
I think I'm having menopause.
In the interview with Paul Dini, he did the same thing because, you know, he gave... Freeze that, we talked about this before, he gave Freeze
the
that
backstory. Yes, yeah.
And he was talking about how he developed that, because...
I actually had to put my wife in a coma in order to know.
No, he said that, well, first of all, he wanted to have a more interesting story anyway, because Freeze had no story before, he was just a throwaway character. And...
Ice to meet you.
He said that one thing he learned in therapy was that a lot of times, whatever a person insists... they believe about or that they're trying to be is actually covering up something in them that that's the exact opposite. So Freeze, you know, is all about no emotion. You know, you have to be cold. Well, that's probably covering up some really deep emotions, you know, that are really messing him up.
And that went on to be the movie Frozen.
No, that went on to be...
it's just all tied together.
That
so
went on
well.
To be his wife and all that other stuff. And he said he actually wrote the episode backwards because he wanted it to end with Freeze in his cell which is special because he's got to have a certain temperature, and he starts to shed a tear, and it turns into like ice or whatever. And while he was talking
spoiler alert, 30-year-old cartoon.
While he was talking about that, he started choking up on the air while he was talking about it.
Did it freeze on the air?
No.
That would have been cool.
But I mean, again, it's like, it shouldn't be a big deal, but it kind of is. Because like I say, in our culture, guys don't usually do that or feel comfortable doing that. And, you know, Kevin and this guy and I, it's like, they're okay with it. And
see, and I've been doing this more lately, and I don't know what it is. Very recently, I did this. I got a little misty. So did the producer. How to Train Your Dragon 2. And here's the thing. I don't mind crying. I'm fine. It seems weird to be saying this right now. My eyes are all watered. It's allergies, so don't take too much into that. But I don't mind it. In fact, I wish I could more because, again, it's sort of cathartic.
Yeah.
It's not built into me. And it's not. Certainly nobody shamed me or anything. I cried a ton when I was a kid. It was fine. I don't tend to. And lately, it's just been coming up more and more and stuff.
Yeah, I
cried in that movie I was telling you about that I'm not going to talk about. I cried during that. That doesn't make no sense.
But, you know, when people who care about stories and think about stories that much, that's why Batman the Animated Series was so successful. Because, one of the creative forces behind it felt that way about it, you know. And you can tell in the quality of the stories. One of the recent
and
ones
if it weren't for Brian Dennehy, that wasn't
one. One of the recent episodes I watched.
I think he did the voice of Clayface.
Was Batman was gonna quit being Batman, and that was a really emotional one. There was a lot of stuff going on there. Of course,
filing for unemployment.
No. It was all about him not feeling like he made a difference, and you know.
Have you seen the Harley Quinn Poison Ivy one yet?
No.
All right then. Be prepared to be anti-climaxed, because I've talked about it too much, so.
You know, Matt Smith.
Matt Smith, the now former Doctor Who, the 11th Doctor.
Yeah, not Matt Smith. Why did I say Matt Smith? Who am I talking
Kevin
about?
Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith.
The fat man who talks about Batman.
Wow, I really blanked out there
Kevin
for a second.
Kevin Spacey.
No, Kevin Smith is what I meant to say. Sorry.
Sissy Spacek.
God, why did I say Matt Smith? And then I didn't even remember who I was talking about. Kevin Smith named his daughter Harley Quinn Smith.
I think I knew that. I think that's terrible.
I do, too. I mean, he interviewed the woman who voiced Harley Quinn, and I forget her name. Sorkin, I think, is her last name.
Aaron Sorkin, the writer of West Wing.
The funny thing is she talked about him because for many years nobody could pronounce her name for some reason, but as soon as that guy got famous, people could pronounce her name.
Nice.
But anyway, that was a pretty good interview too. But I mean, so far, actually I saw a clip today of probably the episode you're talking about where Harley meets, where they first meet, is it?
I don't know for sure.
Okay,
it's an episode that's all about the two of them.
Okay, well, I did see a clip today that was a clip of how they first meet, and it was pretty cool. Mm. And I remember thinking to myself, this Harley I could get into and really like, but so far, and the Harley I've seen, and see, Paul Dini wrote, that's another reason I'm kind of surprised you don't know who he is, because he wrote Batman Arkham Asylum and Batman Arkham City.
Okay.
He wrote those things.
I'm weird in that I don't often look at the writing credits of a video game.
Anyway, and that's why they're kind of similar to the animated series and how all the characters are and interact. But anyway, so far, everything I've ever seen about Harley so far in this show, in other media that I've seen her in, games, in the comic books I've seen her in, she's just this person who sort of worships the Joker and is pushed around by him and still hangs out. I mean, like I say, she's almost all the worst stereotypes that you can come up with.
It's very disconcerting, but we've discussed this.
And I would never name my daughter after this character. But again, I see some potential there in some of the other things I've seen recently, so maybe I can see how that character might be interesting
or
fun.
Well, and remember that we're living in the age of the strong female character, which means if you're a woman and you punch people, you're strong and empowering.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the thing. Harley Quinn's a mess. Harley Quinn's essentially a lovesick slave to the Joker. But sometimes she punches people, so she's a badass.
Yeah, it's just
and believe me, Kevin Smith lives in that goddamn world.
That seems to be true, yeah. Which, it's kind of funny because, you know, I'm not a fan of his work, but I've always felt like it was really well done. Well written, well directed. It's not my cup of tea. I mean, but I can understand why other people like it because it's pretty well done as far as I can see. So I'm not really surprised that I would like listening to his podcast because I think I respect him as an intellect and as an artist, even though we have different taste in whatever. But there are some times where, you know, he'll say something or make, well, for example, he really liked Dark Knight Rises. He loved it. Yeah. That was one of the things he talked about, and he got a little misty here and there when he was talking about it. And I thought, I can't believe that.
When Tom Hardy had those those little tubes stuck on his face, actually, it sounded like he was talking out of a shoebox.
I think he really liked Bane. I mean, I think he liked Bane.
Oh, Bane was a fucking disaster.
Still likes Bane in that movie. But
I will credit one thing to Bane from Dark Knight Rises. It made me look up Bane and find a very interesting character everywhere that wasn't Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, more interesting than what was in the film.
Absolutely.
Right? I totally agree. But even though I don't like Bane in the comic books either, but he was more interesting in the comic books than he was in
also,
the movie.
Is Christopher Nolan just trying to teach us that if you sleep with Marie Cotillard, bad things happen? I mean, we got Inception, we got Dark Knight Rises. It's just a bad idea.
I don't know. But then he had that friend of his, I think I talked about this before, Garman, I think his last name is. But he made all the points, and some points that I didn't even think of that I liked, to Kevin and later. And Kevin agreed, okay, yeah, I see your point, but I think he still liked that movie. And he also liked Man of Steel, which, of course, you know, I didn't. So, I disagree with him on a lot of things. But I like the way he thinks, and I like the way he interviews people. The people he interviews are so interesting, and they tell such great stories about the comic book industry and everything else. So,
speaking of Catwoman, here's Ezzy. speaking of comics, I haven't now, but by the time this comes out, I will be hopefully a decent chunk of the way into the limited run Ex Machina series by Brian K. Vaughan. Mm. I started it a long time ago when it wasn't actually done, and now I decided I need to get back to it because I finished the Bridge trilogy, the Gibson one. Did not like it. Still don't really understand the end. I think I liked the original Sprawl trilogy. Neuromancer, Count Zero, Mona Lisa Overdrive. Good cyberpunk stuff. I might not be that into William Gibson as a whole. I don't know.
Well, you know, one thing I want to do, and I've wanted to do this for a while, is I collected Batman books for a long time, and I stopped just before they started doing the Infinite Crisis stuff, which was just before the New 52 stuff, right? And I'm not that interested in some of the Infinite Crisis stuff, but there are some things that ramped up to New 52 and some of the things since New 52, specifically in the Batman titles, that I would really like to read, you know, when they're out in trade paperback and whatever.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I'd like to get back to find and read, because it sounds like there was some really cool stuff they did with Batman. Like at one point he was sent back in time, and so some of the comic books focus on him being in a particular time for a particular period of time. Like he's in this epic for a month or so, and he's being a certain incarnation of Batman in that epic before he moves on to the next one. Kind of a cross between a Time Lord and Batman.
Each
it's really
time hoping
cool.
That the next leap will be the leap home.
Sure, quantum leap.
To goddamn Gotham.
But it sounds like fun. It sounds like it'd be fun. And there's also a series that's kind of about a secret society that's existed in Gotham City for a long time, which sounds really interesting and fun, and I'd like to read that. There's some other things, somewhat melodramatic things that involve the Robins and his son and stuff that I'm not really looking forward to reading, but I'll probably read those too.
That secret society that's existed for all the time. It's really just a supervillain fan club. It's called the Ra's al Girls. Sounded better in my head. It was funny in my head. I wanted to do something, because you said it had been a long time, and so I'm like, something with Ra's al Ghul, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, the Ra's al Girls. they're his female fans.
Oh, and we're still playing Arkham City. We're still playing that game.
Wow, it's taking you a while.
Well, you know, all the DLCs are on it, you know. It's one of those Game of the Year editions.
I think so I'm very close to the end of Skyrim, finally, which is good because I'm fucking sick of it.
Well, just stop playing it. Why don't you just stop?
I know. I'm so close, though. I want to just finish it out.
And I think that was the right... Skipping Arkham Asylum, I think, was the right thing for us because there are things about this game that we don't like, but there are so many things that we do like that are true for this game, but not Arkham Asylum. Well, for example, you know, you've got this quite a bit of space to run around in and, you know, rooftops and stuff. Arkham Asylum, I take it, you know, you're just in the asylum, so it's kind of a, you don't have a freedom to go to a lot of different places. I mean, isn't it sort of linear?
It is somewhat. There are different areas, but mostly so far I've been going in a line.
Yeah, so... I mean, we didn't think we'd like that about the game. But, I mean, Paul Denny wrote it, so it would probably be fun from a story angle, but I just don't think the gameplay would appeal. And this one has some of those same problems. Like, there's a lot of achievements that are, you know, button mashers and neither one of us in the house like that kind of thing in a game, but, you know. So that's kind of annoying when it comes to that.
I never knew you had so much to say about Batman.
Shut up.
Ezzy? You want to talk about comic books?
You know what's interesting about that, though? You said comic books. Uh-huh. Most of the stuff I like, my favorite Batman stuff isn't really in the comic books. I mean, yeah, I like a lot of the comic book stories, and I do want to read some more, but most of my favorite Batman stuff isn't in the comic books. But what a lot of people don't think about is Batman and Superman in particular, they were in serials and movies and other media almost from the beginning. I mean, Batman and Superman have never been exclusively a comic book thing. Not only that...
I think I ate Superman cereal when I was a kid.
You know what I mean. Not only that, but a lot of the... What, you know, a lot of sticklers for canon, a lot of those pieces of the story didn't originate in the comic book. It came from those other sources. So... It's not even the case that, well, okay, yeah, they've been in other media, but the comic book is where the canon is. Nope. A lot of the canon was generated by those other sources. So
that the iconic cape that Superman wears originated in the breakfast cereal, I heard. Well, the red. It was a bright red because that was cheapest.
For example, we've said on the podcast before, the nailing down of Kansas as where Smallville is was Donner's thing. Richard Donner did that. Kansas was in a couple of the comic books, but Richard Donner's the one that nailed that down.
You have just titled this episode.
What?
The Nailing Down of Kansas.
Smallville in Kansas.
So evocative.
But, and other things too. I mean, I think, I don't know, but Superman might have flown first in other media before in the comic book. Because in the comic books,
he jumped.
The whole leaping over tall buildings, that's literally what he could do. The flying might have been in other media first, but I don't know about that one for sure.
I think I know. I think the flying was actually in radio, and it was something where it was an easier special effect, basically.
Well, yeah, you could make that whooshing
sound. Yeah, I think I read this. Yeah, he used to jump, and he stopped jumping in the radio show because it was easier to make it sound like he was flying than to make it sound like he was jumping.
Well, also... You could say that he flew someplace like in a sentence or two, but jumping, it's like, well, where did he jump? Yeah, how long did he jump? How long did it take him to jump here and there?
I don't remember, but I think I read that someplace.
So maybe you can't say that.
Warning, all facts issued on this show are probably wrong.
For a lot of comic book characters, you can't say this, but for Batman and Superman in particular, they have never belonged exclusively to comic books. And a person can... I mean, I think it's perfectly legitimate for someone to be a fan of either one of these characters and mostly in, say, film or television more than, say, comic books.
I do not. I think they should be shot. I don't think it's appropriate. And they should suck it. So just this morning, Trish was doing something and she's like, and I decided, fuck it. And I was like, yep, in the words of Jesse Hyatt, And apparently she just blanked on this because she's like, who's Jesse Hyatt? I'm like, he's the guy who came, who I don't want to say invented, but went through the process by which eventually we got the Hawkeye apple.
Yeah. And the Red Delicious. Like, they became the Red Delicious.
Well, I said, yeah. And I said something about, Williams, he's like Williams' hero. And I'm like, well, maybe not, but he's like one of Williams' favorite stories. And she's like, how is Williams' hero some guy who said, fuck it? I'm like, well.
He didn't say that.
I'm like, he didn't. But in the story, that's sort of what he did. And so that was what I said. And now I just every once in a while say, Jesse Hyatt, ah, fuck it. Because it bugs William.
In a way, the apple is the hero of the story.
Yeah. And in a way, Jesse Hyatt finally just said, oh, fuck it. Because he couldn't get that tree to stop growing.
I still like that story. It inspires me. I know.
That's why I like to add in the profanity.
So you can ruin it for me?
Exactly. I thought I had something interesting to say, but I don't remember it now. So.
Okay.
Easy, maybe had time?
Yep.
Okay.
It was probably had time a long time ago.
Not that bad. We did worse last time.
I'm sure I totally bore people when I talk about the things that interest me.
But you gave us such a beautiful phrase as the nailing down of Kansas.
Okay, whatever.
Seriously, I love that line.
Are you a morning person or a night owl?
Who is this?
It doesn't say. Oh, okay. Has this question been asked before? Because it seems
no, like, but I think we've talked about this before.
Well, there was a time where I worked a second shift at a job so I could really sleep as late as I wanted and stay up as late as I wanted, I guess. And so I didn't use an alarm clock or anything. I just sort of let what I thought was a natural sleep cycle sort of emerge. And I stayed up until 2. And I woke up at 8. And it seemed perfect.
Mm.
Stay up till 2, wake up at 8. Never had an alarm. Never felt tired. Always slept well. You know, it's only 6 hours of sleep, but that seems to be all I needed. And that's the only time in my life where that happened, where I could just do
that.
Well, that's not true. I mean, recently in my life, you'd think that I could do that because I work for myself. I work from home. But there's always something getting me up earlier, or I mean, you know,
bed bugs.
No, it's just things in the house. Salamanders. I mean, I've lived in a house with kids for the last, you know,
fire
15 years or whatever. I don't know what that makes me.
Juggernaut.
I mean, staying up till 2 seems pretty late. Like, getting up at 8 o'clock is, I mean, for example, Mark, hard hat number 1, he's not a morning person, and I'm sure he would say getting up at 8 o'clock is still pretty early. Don't you think he'd say that?
Yeah, because he's kind of a jackass. So.
No, because he's like, he doesn't.
5:15.
So. He doesn't like mornings.
Yeah.
Well, now when I worked in the same place, I would get up at like 4 a.m, 5 a.m, no problem, and I would go to work, and I would go to bed earlier, like 9 or 10, but I slept okay. So, I think that would suggest I'm a morning person, but I don't think I'm either one. I think I can stay up till. Like I said, that I could stay up till 2, get up at 8. I could get up at 4 a.m. and go to bed at 10. You know, I don't think I really have a particular preference for morning or night myself. But I did have that job I talked about where it was overnight and I couldn't really deal with that overnight hour. Like working a third shift or working a graveyard shift or whatever, I can't do that.
I had trouble with that. I've done it a couple times just for a very short period of time, but it was rough. I think I've discussed this before. I'm at odds with myself on this. Psychologically, I'm night owl. I prefer it. I always said that my favorite, if I could just pick for the rest of my life sort of thing, is I would stay up till about 2 or 3 and wake up about 11. And that's what I do on Friday and Saturday nights most of the time. I just like the nighttime. I don't know. I like to boogie on the disco. But as the world has taught me in the situations where I have not had a choice in the matter, physically, I appear to be a morning person. I do really well with waking up early and getting going.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have no problem getting up early in the morning. I just don't.
I mean, we wake up at 5:15 to go to the gym, And I just get up. It's never an issue.
Now,
And I tend to do pretty well that early.
I can't say that I... I mean, sometimes, when you've got kids and you have to put them to bed and stuff, and the only time you kind of get to do anything not involving the kids is late, you really start to enjoy staying up and, you know, maybe going into the wee hours of the night doing something.
Because I have run into that with a lot of parents.
You don't have time to do things otherwise. Outside of that experience, though, I don't think I've ever been the kind of person that's like, oh, I just want to do something tonight and just let it go till as late as it goes. I mean, I have had nights where I would go out with some friends and it'd go all night and we'd talk and stuff and that was all fun. But I don't think that's like a big preference of mine. Yet getting up early in the morning before anyone else is up, that is kind of a big deal. I do kind of like that. So maybe that shows a little bit of a preference for the morning for me. I don't know. But then I'm talking about getting up so early, in the morning, it's still dark out. So
yeah.
Is that a...
Well, it's hard to say because it varies from the year. Like the producer and I are just starting to get to where when we go to the gym, it's still kind of dark. And of course, we're going to hit a point where it's not only dark when we go, it'll be dark when we come back.
Oh, man. I love that time of year when it was dark when I got to work and dark when I left. I loved that.
I like it for a while, but then again... I think I get some seasonal affective disorder kicking in. I need some goddamn sun.
Oh, I don't feel like I need a lot of sun. In fact, too much sun really bothers me. But yeah, I just love dark when I got dark.
Don't do well with the heat and everything. Love the sun. It's amazing, especially once like spring starts kicking in and we get really nice sunny days. My mood just shoots up. Like everything else around me can suck, and I'm just so in such a good mood.
I wouldn't say I'm the opposite, but I am not like that at all. When in the summertime, I cannot wait for fall to come. I can't wait for there to be less bright, eye-stinging sunlight. It just, I don't know. I'm not into it. But that's me. But so, you know, it's complicated. I mean, the question, are you a morning person or a night owl? Well, I guess I just don't even... I don't even know how to answer that question, but I suppose if I had to guess about what this, you know, the spirit of the question, I must be a morning person because I can get up early in the morning. I like getting up early in the morning for everybody else. But,
and I have now rubbed my itchy allergy ridden eyes enough that my eyes have just swallowed shut. So I'm experiencing this podcast in only audio as well.
Does that mean I have to read the next question also?
No, wing it.
Alright. So you're a night owl.
I want to be a night owl.
Oh.
I wish I was a night owl.
But you don't think you are.
I think I'm built to be a morning person.
I must be a morning person also. What?
A lot of words on this one.
And your eyes hurt.
And it's from friggin' Agitalin with 3 exclamation points.
It's always 3 exclamation points. It's never 2 or 4. I mean, why do you even count them?
Dear dissonant and confused, say it with me, folks, forced voices of the magical talking hat. Well, this isn't good.
What's the matter?
I am 99% sure we cover this in a video.
Let me see. I'll remember because I had to edit all of them. We did. How did this end up? How did the hat end up giving us this twice?
I don't know. I'm very disconcerted. You want to tell them what it says, and then they can go look at the video?
Well, I don't know when the video is going to be out there.
We shouldn't just leave them hanging.
Yes, we can. Why not?
All right.
Why shouldn't we?
William says, fuck you. All right. Well, here's another one.
They're going to get the question eventually, so.
If they go watch the video.
Yeah, go watch the video. See, that'll get them to watch it if they haven't been watching.
God damn it. Well, don't put it there. No, no, confuse it with everything else.
I don't know why the hat would do this to us.
It's probably
testing us, like, to see if we're...
Go home, hat. You're drunk. This one is from Sir Guido. Dear Hatlex. Don't worry, he does this a few times. What is your favorite brand of chocolate?
Well,
oh, this is a critical one for you.
Yeah, right now, and for a long time now, it's been endangered species chocolate, which is featured in Will vs. Chocolate, the film.
Why, yes, it is. In fact, there's a specific kind of endangered species chocolate in the film that I believe you were way into for a while.
Yeah, Extreme Dark. I had some before I came over.
Didn't it have something in it? I thought it was Extreme Dark with, like, raspberries or something.
Nope, just Extreme Dark. Okay. And it's really good stuff. Now, I also have...
Extreme! Like,
a brand called Chocolove. And they have one especially that's got... it's a 55% cocoa, and it's got almonds and sea salt in it. And it's really good. It's not as potent as... dark chocolate, you know, 88% is the dark chocolate from
well, you know what you could do to really up that potency? Some gunpowder. And then you seal it up in the chocolate.
What I do is, if...
with a hacksaw.
If I'm using it for... because listeners probably know that I use it kind of for medicine.
He uses chocolate like drugs.
Well, I mean, like, it helps...
So if he's taking chocolate recreationally, you know, just tripping chocolate
balls. Like today... I was starting to get a headache. So, and now for some people, chocolate is bad if you're getting a migraine or something. But for me, it has the opposite effect. So I made a hot chocolate, which the way I do it is I get a fairly large mug and I put two big heaping teaspoons of like powdered chocolate you'd use for baking, and then I pour in some chocolate almond milk, and I heat it up and I stir it up and I'll drink that and it usually helps get rid of a headache. But then later I had half a bar of the endangered species 88% chocolate. If I have the Chocolove almond and sea salt stuff, since that's only 55%, I usually eat a whole bar of that before I come over, if that's what I'm eating. But if it's the 88%, I only eat half a bar.
You're weird.
But it improves my mood, you know, if I'm not feeling like I'm in a very good mood. Or
yeah, no, I do. We owe a lot to dark chocolate on this podcast.
Yeah.
And for those of you who think we're bad now.
Yeah, imagine. And I have shown up without having chocolate, and it was not good.
And alternatively, we've had episodes where my co-host was just a bar of chocolate, and those were way more popular.
People should really, you know, go to Aether Theater, .com or there's an Aether Theater on YouTube and watch Will vs. Chocolate and tell me what you think. I think it's a good film.
Also watch Inquire Within and tell him how much better that one is.
Because Tony's in it and it is pretty good. The sound is worse, but the performance is
pretty good. Your sound is worse. From your face.
And also Junior Park Patrol, which that's that's a good film too, I think. It worked out
really. I like Junior Park Patrol.
It worked out pretty good. But we, you know, we've talked about the films on the podcast before, and nobody's ever said anything about them. I don't know if they don't watch them or if they don't like them.
Fuck all y'all.
And Mark helped with. Did he help with Inquire Within? I hate to ask that question.
I can't remember. But I was on a lot of drugs.
I know he helped with Will vs. Chocolate.
And I didn't have anything to do with Will vs. Chocolate, which is why I hate it. Also, the guy playing Will actually named John.
But I played chocolate, so
yeah, actually named Will.
So if you want to hear what some of my voice acting work is like, you can.
And the guy playing John was named Chocolate.
I don't know. I thought
it was a racist thing. Don't ask. It was the 2000s. We were.
I thought that was kind of funny. But anyhow, so yeah, endangered species chocolate, Chocolove. Let's see, what's another brand that we sometimes get? Those are the two main ones, and I like them a lot.
I'm fond of Cadbury.
That's it? Just Cadbury?
Well, I'll eat just about any, but Cadbury's the one that sticks out. Lindor's pretty good. I just like Cadbury because to me that's what non-American chocolate tastes like, and non-American chocolate tends to taste way better than American chocolate. Hershey's.
Yeah, I mean, the chocolates that I, if they're made, well, you know, I don't know who makes Chocolove. I don't think it's American.
Well, but this is also becoming a thing. It's the same way that And admittedly, I like any chocolate. I'll eat the grade F chocolate that comes in the cheapo Halloween candy things. Whatever, I'll eat it. But it's very much like with beer, when I thought I didn't like beer, and then I left the country, and I found out that beer that's not American beer is good. But nowadays, it doesn't matter, because microbrews have sprung up everywhere. The same kind of thing has happened with chocolate. There's all these specialty labels and stuff that make really good chocolate here.
Well, when I know I've said this on, this is probably one of the reasons the question was asked, was I didn't used to have any, I didn't know what the big deal was about chocolate until I had not just better chocolate than American chocolate, because if I just had milk chocolate that's like, you know, 30% cocoa or whatever from a
cacao
from like Belgium or something, I think I just would have thought, yeah, okay, this is tastes better, but it's still, I think I had to have something with a high cocoa content for it to really have an impact, you know, on me. And now, like you, I can enjoy just about any chocolate more than I used to, but I won't eat a lot of American chocolate because it doesn't have, you know, because it's got high fructose corn syrup and stuff in it.
I am hopeful, though, because I've read some things lately that say cocoa production in the world is potentially in danger.
Yeah.
And that the way around it, to do it without cocoa product, you can do it without any actual cocoa solids in it. And apparently that's what Hershey's is now, and has been for quite some time, because it's way cheaper. And so I'm a little more hopeful. I'm like, oh, if it gets to where I can't afford real chocolate, if Hershey's is the bad version, I can live off of that.
Well, you know, that's another interesting thing is, like, when we have s'mores, we get Hershey's. I mean, that's just what you do.
Yeah.
I
think my first experience that chocolate could be other than just chocolate was Swiss chocolate. Like Swiss milk chocolate is the creamiest stuff in the world. It's amazing. And that opened my eyes to the world of chocolate.
Yeah, it's hard to
believe. For those of you who feel the quality of the podcast on my end is dropping, you're not wrong. I'm too hot. I'm very tired. We've been doing this for over an hour and a half. And my eyes are so itchy and swollen that they're just little slits now. And it's driving me crazy. So, deal with it.
Should I draw another question?
Now, William is going to give you a game to play while listening to the album.
What are you talking about?
Cool. What are you laughing at? It's party time. Cool. Good day and welcome to party time.
Yes, yes. Shall I?
All right. We call this one the Beer Hunter.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to shake up one question and put it back in the box.
This is also Sir Guido.
Sir Guido!
A digested question, apparently. Dear Hat Lex.
Yeah?
William is weird / vegetarian.
True.
Does that mean that I'm sometimes weird and sometimes a vegetarian, or does that mean that being a vegetarian is weird?
We'll get to that. Is that the whole thing?
No. What is the most underrated vegetable? I think Brussels sprouts. Well, that's a good one in terms of underrated vegetables, Brussels sprouts.
But they're becoming a thing, due in large part to bacon, but they're becoming a fad.
But the one I've heard consistently complained about recently, including in the blog, is beets.
Fuck beets.
Which I love.
So does the producer. You both are sick people.
I love them cooked. I love them raw. I mean, beets are so great.
Beets are disgusting. Literally make me vomit. I mean, there are other vegetables I don't like. There are vegetables I hate. Beets are the only ones I'm pretty sure I literally could not eat because I throw up.
Underrated. I don't know if spinach is underrated.
No, only with stupid people. The intelligentsia of the world understand the joy that is spinach.
Kale is trashed a lot.
Kale is pretty horrible.
Well, if it's prepared right, it's good.
Yeah, no. Drowning in bacon grease.
Beet greens are excellent.
Seriously, get out of my house.
Excellent. Beets and beet greens. Wonderful.
I will punch you right in your face.
Brussels sprouts are excellent, and I do
turnips
think
turnips are underrated.
Yeah, I think
turnips can be pretty good.
Turnips can be great, and radishes too.
Also, goddamn lima beans.
Oh, I love lima beans.
I do too, and people don't.
You know what's the thing about lima beans is, when I was younger, and you got what was called mixed vegetables, had lima beans in it.
Yes.
It had carrots, peas, corn, green beans and lima beans. And now, I can't find bags of mixed vegetables that has lima beans.
Do they not?
All the other stuff, but not the lima beans.
I stopped eating vegetables, so I don't know.
Well,
when I grew up, when I was a kid, everybody else would pick out their lima beans and give them to me because they knew I liked the lima beans.
That happened to me, too. So we'll get a bag of mixed vegetables and a bag of lima beans, and we'll mix them up so we have some lima beans in the mixed vegetables. Because I love something about that combination of diced carrots, you know, corn.
And little tiny chunks of green beans.
Yeah, just.
And green peas.
And the peas, exactly. And the lima bean. All of that together just, it's like right. It's just perfect. Something about it is so good. I love it, but I do miss the lima beans in that mix.
There we go. All right, I'm going to go other way here, and I want your answer because I could give too many. What do you think is the most overrated vegetable?
Overrated?
Yeah, that you're like, everybody loves it, and it's not that great. Huh. I'm not saying you have to hate it, but just something that you're like, eh, it's okay. Why does everybody think that's amazing?
I can't even think of one. I mean, the vegetable that everybody eats without even thinking about they're eating a vegetable is tomatoes, obviously. Tomato sauce. Tomato,
that's because they're fruits.
Ketchup. Well, technically. But surely he doesn't just mean non-fruit vegetables, does he?
I don't know. Ask him.
I can't think of... I mean,
What's your least favorite vegetable?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I don't think... There are some greens that I find are really bitter. I mean, they can be prepared so that they're not, but a lot of times they'll put them in salads just the way they are. Well, like dandelion greens, for example. I like them in things, but if you just put it in a salad, it's too bitter. I don't really like it.
Interesting.
I don't really like it, but I do. I mean, if you cook them or saute them, they're fine.
How about Swiss chard?
No, I like that.
I hate Swiss chard. Bacon fat could not save Swiss chard for me. That's how bad it is.
I'm very vegetarian. I mean,
very weird.
I love fruits and vegetables. I mean, and well, grains too, like corn and wheat and whatever, and oatmeal. I mean, I eat oatmeal without anything else in it. And a lot of people won't eat oatmeal with nothing else.
Not even water. He just does handfuls of raw oats.
I mean, sometimes I can't believe I ever ate meat because I look back now and I know I just ate it because it's what was put in front of my face. When I finally got to the point, and I was in my 20s when it finally hit me, you know, I can eat whatever I want now. I don't have to just eat what people serve me. All I wanted was fruits and vegetables and greens and you know, of all kinds. I mean, this is how much of a vegetarian I am. I've never told you this story before. But when we worked together, there was a guy.
I gave you a Big Mac, and I said, I have $15.
No. We know that story. There was a guy who was in our team named Sean, and he had...
Why don't I remember him?
You don't remember Sean? I don't want to say his last name.
No,
but
I'm in trouble here.
Well, anyway.
That's weird.
He had...
It has been a damn long time, though.
He had bamboo shoots growing on his desk. You know how some people do.
Yeah.
And whenever I saw them, I got hungry. I wanted to eat them.
It's time we told you the truth, William. You're adopted and you're a panda.
But that's weird, right?
Yeah, that's weird. Unless you're a goddamn panda.
Well, that's not the only weird thing. Like, when I look out and in a yard that maybe hasn't been mowed for a while and there's like wild lettuce growing out there and the rabbits are chewing on it, I think that looks tasty. I mean, and I've been like that my whole life. And
seriously, I want to punch you so much more than the standard level of always wanting to punch you.
And you know, when I was growing up, a lot of people had clover out in the fields and they'd bale it for the horses and stuff. And I thought, wow, that smells good. I'll bet that's tasty. I'll bet that tastes really good. bird seed, when I see big bags of bird seed, I think that looks good.
I don't.
I mean, I'd cook it in a nice little cereal, like a hot cereal. Because, I mean, there's millet, and millet's good. I mean, when you cook millet like a hot cereal, or even when you fry it, good stuff.
I don't feel like I have the words to explain how low you have dropped in my, like, you know, I never thought much of you, but I didn't really think you were like, I don't even know what that is, that you like wanted to eat the clover, you like that you were.
Oh, it smells so good. It smells like it would be really tasty.
Oh, you're weird.
And I've never felt this way about meat, ever.
I constantly feel this way about meat.
Ever. I mean, right the now, smell of it or look of it. I mean, I ate it,
think about
but I never felt that
too
way
hard
about
right
meat.
Now, I'm going to get an erection. I mean, like, I constantly feel that way about meat.
Nope. Never felt that way about meat. And I still don't. But
you've just never found the right meat. I know a meat that could change you. You're just confused. It's just a phase.
Have you tried not being a vegetarian?
I know of a particular church program that will pray the vegetarian out of you.
And it was really easy to be a vegan. So easy. But
that's too wild.
No, it's just, as we discussed when we were talking about cheeses and stuff, that, you know, not only do I like them, not anything like fruits and vegetables.
Not as much as you like yard clippings.
No. But,
oh my God, what is wrong with you?
But I mean, you know, I come from all of us actually come from
a long line of white-tailed deer.
No. It's funny you should say that because I read somewhere about what white-tailed deer eat, and all of it sounded good.
It's awesome. So what you do is they eat it, and then you eat them, and it's really tasty.
No. I mean, most of what they eat is everything that all the fruits and vegetables, all the fruits and vegetables that we eat, they eat. But they also will eat things like hay and clover and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, I basically like all the same things that deer like. Except they have more than one stomach, and I don't. But
I do.
But the thing is,
they both do the same thing. But I got two in here.
Human beings, especially of European descent, you know, we come from a long line of people that ate meat and dairy. So we have developed certain, you know, biological with all the microbes and stuff that mm-hmm. that we're symbiotic
hell
with.
Hell yeah!
Make it okay for most of us to eat meat and cheese. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't, you know, so for people to think that we shouldn't eat those things, well, some people maybe shouldn't. And I don't particularly like those things, but for people who it works for them nutritionally, of course they should eat them.
Oh, you're so wrong. You're a bad person and you should feel bad.
I don't.
All right. I realized now that we're 52 and a half minutes in, we never said what this was. We never said what episode
you
it
didn't
was.
Deal the. Oh, we didn't.
No.
Oh my gosh. Well, everybody, this has been episode 176
of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that once had Queen Elizabeth II making armpit fart noises with her. You know, like you do.
I must not have been here.
No, it was
that.
Episode 12. Don't you remember?
I don't remember.
And we lost.
Yeah, but I don't remember that part. That must have been before
you were pretty drunk at that point. And I believe you were out chewing on my grass.
Shut up.
So I've been Tony, and he has been Bambi. And we're not going to tell you what this was, because if you listen this far, you know what this was. And you're probably sad that you know, but you know.
Go to YouTube and watch videos.
Go to YouTube and watch the videos. Go to Facebook and like the hat. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Comment, talk with other people about this exciting world we live in. by which I mean the podcast. Write the hat, please, everybody. Write the hat. Topics, comments, questions, things. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Do that. And next week, I will hopefully be more awake and will have been vacated. That's what you say when you went on a vacation, right? I've been vacated.
I guess.
And so it'll all be good then.
It sounds not quite right.
I like it.
It sounds like something that you say about yourself after you've had like an enema or something.
Way to put it right on the nose. Jokes are way better when you got to explain them. Absolutely. So anyway, by next week I will have had an enema and we'll be good. So good night.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.